I appreciate that, Donnie, and we'll take care of business. I'm going to speak to you this morning on being led by the Holy Spirit. In the reference in the book of Exodus, chapter 40, verse 34 through 38, and then we'll go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, 11 through 17. I do have a surgery date for my voice, so hang in there, and hopefully in March I'll get another scraping of the vocal cords, and we're hoping for a little clarity. In the book of Exodus, chapter 40, verse 34 says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." How many likes the sound of that? The glory of God filled the meeting place, the church house. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because a cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they would not journey till the day it was taken up. In other words, if the cloud stayed still, so did they. But if the cloud moved, they followed. But if the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. In other words, you could look over at the church, and there was the presence of God. This has long been my prayer for every church that I've ever been a part of, that we have the presence of God so thick you can see His power and His presence. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You for everyone that's here. Bless everyone to hear Your word. Bless me to deliver a message that will lift hearts up, will strengthen and draw people more to You, closer to You. And I pray, Lord, that You will strengthen us all. We need You. We need You. And we pray, Lord, that now You come and minister through the Word, and that You minister always through the Spirit, because we need You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Romans, this is where I get my text. Verse 14, but let's start with verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit Himself raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Now, we're not talking about God giving us supernatural power in the life to come. Your mortal bodies means this body right here, right now. He will give a quickening. He will give life to our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. There's many different names and titles and labels for the Holy Spirit. One of them is here, the Spirit of God. But we also know him as a comforter. We also know him and represent him with fire. A lot of churches that are full gospel have the fire emblem. The wine, the wind, the dove, the oil, and water. All of these things, and there are many more, that represent the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said many times, I have to go away so that I can send you another comforter, so I can send the Holy Spirit back to you. When he comes, he'll do a lot of different things. But Jesus said, I have to go. Why? Because they couldn't be here at the same time? No, they're here at the same time. But because Jesus had to pay the price so that the Holy Spirit could be freely poured out upon all flesh. Men, human beings, could not take the Holy Spirit baptism without the covering of the blood of Christ over our sin. We needed to be born again. You can't receive the baptism until your soul, your body, and your spirit are sanctified by the blood, the Spirit, the Word of Jesus Christ. So once Jesus was gone, then I think it was about 10 days later, the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. They began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And the people that saw them said, they're drunk. Peter said, no, they're filled with the Spirit. Just as was prophesied by Joel, they're filled with the Spirit. And so the baptism of Jesus, when he was water baptized by John, as he came up from the water, there ascended the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Not the Holy Spirit is a dove, but in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In the book, I believe, of John, Jesus was at a festival, at a feast, and they were pouring out water as a part of this feast, and Jesus began to be touched by the symbolism, and he said, just wait, for soon out of your bellies or innermost being or out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit that had not yet been poured out because Jesus had not gone away. He had not been glorified. And then there's another scripture in the book of John, chapter 14, that talks about the helper or the comforter. John 14, 25 and 26. Says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper or the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. I wish we could today see all of the things that the Holy Spirit does, all of the ways that He moves in our midst and in our lives, how He touches us. Now we need to follow the doctrine of our church and follow the doctrine of the Scripture with, once we're born again, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send you this other comforter, and He's going to do so much. He's going to amplify who I am. He's going to make you remember all of my teachings. My personal experience was in Alameda in 1962. I was 10 years old. And how many remember seeking the baptism? We were kids, 10, 11, 12 years old. After church, which ended at about 10 o'clock, we started praying. And sometimes we'd pray until 11. Now, my family lived in San Leandro. We had a half an hour drive to get home. Can you imagine people seeking the Spirit of God today like we did back then? Somebody would say, hey, the lights are out, you gotta go. Can't be spending this kind of time. But we did, we sought the Spirit of God. And it, you know, it was something we wanted to be filled. And I was standing on the platform because we used to do, when we had worship, a group of people came on the platform, and that was the choir for that evening. And so I was standing there, and I was singing, and a little lady that was our youth leader, who had been delivered from being a heroin addict, she said, Jim, the Lord said if you'll raise your hand, you'll be filled. Now remember, we had been seeking. Lord, we want to be filled with the Spirit. We don't want to leave tonight until we're filled with the Spirit and endued with power from on high. I raised my hands and instantly began to speak in tongues. And I'll remember that the rest of my days. That we had worked in the altar and we sought the Lord. And we were fighting to be baptized. And then the Lord just poured out His Spirit upon me as He did on the day of Pentecost. Just a mighty rushing wind and a great power. And they began to speak in tongues. That's the doctrine of our church. You must be born again. And then there's a second touch of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, I am not saying that there's no Holy Ghost in your life. I went to Sacramento to visit a former district official, and he said, I'm going to shock Jim, because I'm going to say that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit's with you. I don't deny that. I believe that with all of my heart. How are you going to separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? But I am saying this, there's something else. There's something more. There's something. I've seen people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit almost instantly at the same time. But it's going to first be saved and then filled with the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit for years, still an opportunity and an option. That's what we believe in our church. We believe that once we're filled with the Spirit, that He will lead us and guide us in every part of our life. We become family because the Bible says those that are led by the Spirit, you can cry out, Abba Father or Papa God. The same Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep when God was creating or recreating heaven and earth. And when the Spirit was hovering and God said, let there be light, there was light. Because the Spirit of God heard the voice of God. And it was done. The same Spirit that moved over the face of the deep is the Spirit that dwells in us. To be led by the Spirit, we ask every time we come together for worship, Lord, bless us. Anoint our worship. Anoint our singing. And we want to feel the presence of God when we begin to sing. We want the Spirit to be nudging us here and there and encouraging us and blessing us. We want the Spirit of God when we're delivering the message so that everything can be anointed and made better by His being there and a part. But we want to be led by the Spirit every day in our lives. Every day. I'm a grandpa. If I've got a hold of these guys' hands, stand up for a minute. I am going to lead them in the safest way possible. I'm not going to put them in danger. Why? Because I love them. There's been times when other grandkids and I have tramped through the area around Shasta. If there was a bear, I'd say, you guys run back to the camp. I'm going to fight a bear because I want to protect these guys. You can sit down. Thank you. But when we're led by the Spirit of God, it's just like that. The Holy Spirit says, give me your hand. And when we're willing to give Him our hand, He will lead us in the best places. Does that mean we're never going to hit a bump? Oh, Lord. Oh my, no way, we're going to hit a bump. We're gonna hit several bumps. But wouldn't you rather hit a bump with your hand in the hand of the Holy Spirit and Him guiding? Now, I'm not saying just, you know, that He's gonna lead us and guide us in places of safety. I think the Holy Ghost makes our life more interesting. We don't know all the ways He's going to lead us, but He's got good things that are ahead. He's got blessings that we can't even imagine. He's got services that we'll be a part of where His presence will just take over and we'll give praise to the Lord. The Holy Spirit has great things in store for us. And it is an adventure. How many remember that old show, Adventures in Paradise? I vaguely remember it. But it was tropical paradise and a sailboat. I remember that much. God has adventures for us that are way beyond that. And the Spirit of God is going to lead us through this life to the place to where we're going to open our eyes and see Jesus. He's going to take us all the way from here to glory. And we just need to hold His hand. We need to be led by His presence and His power. We need to know that when He speaks to us, that we need to follow. Every now and again, the Lord kind of leads, and it gives us an opportunity for a great blessing. Debbie and I have been to Yosemite 2 or 3 times lately. Before that, I hadn't been my whole life. Been close to it, but never been. One of the times that we were in Yosemite, we got on a bus and we had a tour guide. That guy was as amazing as could be. We went on another tour and it was so-so. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a tour guide that knows everything about life. He knows everything about your future. He knows everything about God. He knows everything about Jesus. And He is going to take you through this life on a tour that is going to be the very best for your life. You can trust Him with your hand. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him in leading you, because he'll keep you safe. He'll keep his hand upon you and bring protection as he leads us through life. The last thing I want to share is that we'll be led by the Spirit in our church business. We have things that we're always dealing with, and our brethren, our deacons, pray for God's direction. That might soon change to our deacons. But we follow what we feel like the Lord wants for this church. Doctrine, Holy Spirit, not messing with, you know, the foundation of our church has always been a priority, and the business as well. But the Holy Spirit can also minister in your business. He can help you through whatever work situations that you have. How many's ever had a job that was just real hard? Just things weren't good around you. God can take us through those situations and give us blessings. I always pray for, when I'm praying for somebody work, I pray that God will put them in an environment that's good people all the way around and a job that they enjoy. If we have to work, why not make it a good environment and a blessing to where it meets the financial need? The Holy Spirit can lead us to those blessings. Now, I'm going to share two songs. The first one talks about the journey. It's called "I'm Nearer Home Than I Was Yesterday." How many's ever heard that? Well, just a couple of us. It's an older song. It says, "I've walked with God through all these years, through flame and flood, through pain and tears. I'll follow him, his will obey. I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. The fleeting clouds that sweep the sky, the whispering winds that chill and die, the shifting sands all speak to say, you're nearer home than you were yesterday." How many knows that's true? I mean, we're closer than yesterday. "Each thought I think, each prayer that I pray, each step brings me nearer to heaven's gate. I'll shout when I'm called away, I'm nearer home than I was yesterday." The chorus is, "I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. I'm closer to God along the way. Each step I take, each prayer that I pray, I'm nearer home than I was yesterday." This next song you may, more of you may recognize. "Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place." There's a million songs about the Holy Spirit, but this is one I've always felt so good for us to sing. "Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in Thy presence, there's healing divine." Why do you want the presence? Because we need some healing. We need some saving. We need some people to come to our church and be born again. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit. "No other power can save, Lord, but Thine. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Fill all the hungry and empty within. Restore us, O Father. Revive us within. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. It's my heart and yours as well that the Holy Spirit feel comfortable in Calvary Chapel. For a long time, we've seen all kinds of services in this church. We've seen the place packed with Leroy Jenkins praying for miracles, and we've had some of our folks receive a miracle. And I'm thankful for that, but I want to feel the presence every time I come to church. I want God's Spirit to just pour out upon us what we need. And we do, like we say, we need Him. We need Jesus. Let's just join our hearts in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for Your people. Lord, my heart has been that we raise up from weakness to strength, and that You open the door and bless us, Lord, in ways to where we can see Your presence, feel Your presence, Lord, to where we can know without doubt that You are ministering to our lives. And we all need a touch. We all need a strength. Lord, we've got a battle perhaps now, or we'll have a battle in the future. We want to draw close to You and be touched by Your holy presence. Minister, Lord. Minister, Lord. Your wonderful, amazing, glorious grace and power. We pray in Jesus' name. Praise God. Is there anyone that needs prayer? I'm going to pray for Brother Henry because I feel that's important. Strength every day. Jesus, we love You. And we're so thankful for Henry. Lord, what a blessing he's been in our lives, our church. And Lord God, I pray now that we will draw close to You and pray. Lord, victory in Henry's life. Strength every day. Give him strength every day. Lord, let him feel Your presence and Your power. We love You, Jesus, because You're always there for us. There's not a point in our life that You're not ready to reach out Your hand and touch us. And I pray for miracles and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else like prayer? We want to touch God. Precious Jesus, touch Sister Marilyn, Lord, with Your mercy. I pray, God, that You'll bring provision for her, that You'll bring comfort to her life. Lord, be with her. Help her, Lord, in every situation that she's looking at right now. I pray for victory in the name of Jesus. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to touch her and be present with her, Lord, guiding and strengthening in Your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? Lord, bring blessing to Your people. We surrender our will to You. Protect us this day and this week. Give us victory after victory. Let us feel the hand of the Spirit, Lord, leading us and guiding us. We honor You. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. So sweet to walk in Your way. And we're grateful for Your presence. Minister to those that are not here. Victory in Jesus. Amen.